chapter number 5. I've been preaching in a series on Christ and the church. Even though the church means little this world, it means everything to God. You see, God loved us so much that He sent His Son that you could be saved and to become part of the church or the bride of Christ. Now in Ephesians, we'll stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God as our custom is here. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We've lost the fear of God in our nation as a whole. But the Bible teaches us that we are to reverence God, or to fear God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Young men, you have great responsibility before God to lead your family. And so Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church, watch this, is subject unto Christ. So let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word, that He might present to Himself, watch, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. They shall be joined to his wife. They two shall be one flesh. Verse 32, where I tried to bring the thought of this series into. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love you. So we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for a church we can gather together. God, for the old songs are sung, the altars are open, for the saints of God are worshiping you, and I thank you for that. Thank you we have a church where the Bible's open and the Word of God is proclaimed Sunday after Sunday. Help us now to be attentive to your Word. If it be one here lost today, I pray you'd deal with their heart. I pray you'd show grace and mercy to them. Draw them to an old-fashioned altar. They may repent of their sins and trust Christ as their Savior. Help us today now in this time. I'll be grateful to you in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. We'd look, first of all, in this series of Christ and His church, or the bride of Christ. Now, isn't it amazing, as here Paul is writing, he parallels the husband and the wife to the church as the bride of Christ. When God saved you and I, we become part of the church, which is the bride of Christ. The church has three types. The church is a body. The church is a building. But here this morning, we're still looking as the church, as the bride. We preach the first Sunday in this series of sermons on the church, or the bride signified. Remember when Adam was in the garden, God had him to name each creature that come before him. It was male and female. And Adam gave names to all of those. But God looked at Adam and seen that he was not complete. He was by himself. So out of the side of Adam, he brought forth his wife, Eve. He brought them together. And we preached that Sunday morning on the bride signified, that God wanted a bride for his son, the second Adam. And therefore, we've come out of the side of Christ. Aren't you glad that the side of Christ is still open this morning? And he's still receiving sinners by grace through faith. So we preached that Sunday morning in the types of the garden as the bride of Christ signified. Last Sunday, I felt very rushed in what I needed to get across. But in Genesis 24, one of the greatest passages in the Old Testament, where there that Abraham sent the servant for his son Isaac after Rebekah to be the bride. So we preached last Sunday on the bride specified. Aren't you glad the camel of grace came by, let you get on, and now you're following that servant all the way home. But let me tell you, when we see Isaac, we're going to get off of that camel. The Bible said that Rebecca lighted off her camel. Didn't say she lit a camel. Somebody say amen. Amen, but she lighted off her camel. And so she is glad to see Jesus. Let me tell you something, it's coming today. When the bride of Christ, the born again, the blood washed, when we see Him, honey, we're going to light off our camel and go into the yonderland world. Oh, I'm glad I'm saved by the good grace of God this morning. So we've seen as the church, the type of the bride of Christ, we've seen the bride signified in Genesis, the bride specified in Genesis. But this morning, I read the text. I want to look at the bride sanctified. The bride sanctified. Can I tell you that when God saved you, He did not only save you, but He didn't save you with the intentions of leaving you how you were. God wants us to grow in the family of God. This word sanctified, you don't hear it much in the Baptist churches anymore, not many other churches, because it simply has to do with conduct. It has to do with growth and development. Let's look in this text, Ephesians, Paul's writing. He said that he might sanctify. That word simply means to be holy, to purify, to consecrate, or to set apart. Now, he might sanctify and cleanse it. How? With the washing of the water by the Word. That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Has it ever dawned on you, you that are saved, washed in the blood of Christ, you are the bride of Christ? Let me tell you, He wants a bride this morning that is clean. He don't want a bride that's running around with everything in the country. He wants His church to be clean and separate. We're not better than nobody else, but we serve the Lord. And we're supposed to have morals. We're supposed to have standards. It amazes me today at the standards that people say they know God and their morals. I mean, seems like that many cats and dogs are living better than God's people. Somebody say amen this morning. So therefore, God is looking for a clean bride. He's looking for a committed bride. Somebody that's just committed to Him. Now, this Christmas we'll be married 43 years by the grace of God. I've looked for something in my bride, not only that she would stay clean, but that she would stay committed. She's not to be running around on me. Say amen. Help me preach, somebody. Now, COVID's got your shout knocked out. Somebody say amen. Let's get back to saying amen in our church and using the altars. God wants His bride to not only be clean but committed. When I go off preaching, I expect my wife to be doing her wifely duties at home. Seeing about what needs to be seen in our family. She's committed unto one husband. That's her husband. So should the bride of Christ be committed to our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to be courting the things of the world, having idols in our lives. So this morning, the bride sanctified. She needs to be clean. She needs to be committed. She needs to be close and conversation with one another. You say that you know the Lord. How often do you talk to Him? Are you close to Him? Oh my goodness, no marriage is going to work out unless you're close to one another, committed to one another, and clean with each other. And so it is with the church. Christ is looking for His bride, who is the church, to be clean, committed, and close. And then I think He wants His bride to be a Christian. Amen. You young men and ladies, the Bible says not to be unequally yoked together. Young ladies, if you want a life of chaos, then you go out and marry you a young boy of the world that has no inklings about God. You're going to bring you a household of trouble. This morning I believe that Christ's bride is to be sanctified. And I want to deal with this and get on into preaching. First of all, we that are saved by the grace of God, what does that mean, preacher? It means we've seen ourselves as a sinner. We can't get to heaven on our own merit. We've repented of our sins. That means we've turned from what we was doing and who we was. And we realize in our heart that we need a Savior. That's repentance. It's turning your back on the world. Don't tell me you've ever got saved if you're in love with the world. Friend, let me tell you, we must repent of our sins. It means to turn from our wicked ways and trust Christ. Call upon Him as our Savior. The Bible says that time we are born again by grace through faith. The Spirit of God comes to live inside of us. We're bought with a price. We're not our own anymore. And I'm thankful that the Spirit of God lives in me this morning by the person of Jesus Christ. And so this word sanctification, I want to say three things real briefly about it and get in where I want to preach from, but I want to teach you something this morning. First of all, there's positional sanctification. Positional sanctification. 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. The day you got saved, God not only declared you justified, but He sanctified you, or He set you apart. He's bought you with a price. You're not your own anymore. You're to live for Him. You're to surrender to Him. I believe the reason that we're not seeing more men and women that's going in the ministry, men preaching the gospel, young ladies as a missionary, because nobody surrendered. Nobody sold out to God in this day and this hour. Now, I don't want to be so negative. I just want to preach the Bible to you. God has the doctrine of sanctification in our Bible, and it's part of our Bible. It's not my thoughts or my concept. It's what Christ has taught His church. So let's look at this. We're sanctified positionally. 1 Corinthians. Look in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 2. Now the day you got saved, you became sanctified. The Bible says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. Well, preacher, what does that word mean? It means to be set apart. So them that are sanctified, and look how you got sanctified. In Christ Jesus. The only way that you're ever going to go to heaven is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we're sanctified in Christ Jesus. Watch. Called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So I want to say this morning, look in Hebrews 10 and 10. Here's a powerful verse. Hebrews 10 and verse number 10. We'll give you time to get there. Hebrews 10 and 10. I want you to underline it and know where it is in your Bible. The Bible says, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We've been set apart once for all. For every priest stands daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice. Watch this. Which can never take away sin. A Baptist preacher can't save you this morning. A Catholic priest cannot save you this morning. But there's one that come to shed His blood for you, and He's the Lord Jesus Christ. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, what? Forever sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting that His enemies be made His footstool, for by one offering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So positionally, Christ's bride is sanctified. That's positionally. You see, only Christ could do that for you. Brought you in the family of God. Moved into you. Made your spirit alive unto God. So now the Bible says that Christ has sanctified us. That's positionally. But then secondly, not only is there a positional sanctification, This is where I want to get at this morning. There's a progressive. Help me. Progressive. Let's say that again. Progressive sanctification. What does that mean? It has to do with our conduct, our growth and development. Let me ask you a question. This is an old country preacher this morning. Since the day you made a profession of faith in Christ, are you more like Jesus today than you was then? Well, you should be. Because not only have we been positionally sanctified, we should be being progressively sanctified. In other words, we are to be becoming more like Christ. Now, it don't happen overnight. And people, I want to realize that it takes time. But folks has to put forth an effort. I see a lot of people, and I really believe that many are saved, but they've never went no further with Christ. And I realize that's the greatest day in your life when you got saved, but it's nothing like living for Jesus. Nothing. So we see that we're sanctified positionally. Christ has brought us positionally, has sanctified us, but there's a progressive sanctifying. Look in John 17 and 17 what Jesus said. And look what it takes to make us more like Christ. John 17 and 17. I don't feel hurried this morning. Y'all in trouble. Now let's look what the Bible teaches us. You know, I'd hate to know, Brother Randall, that if God lets me stay here 40 years and I leave the church and I leave a people that knows nothing about doctrine, shame on me, shame on the preacher. You need to be taught doctrine. You need to realize and know why we believe what we believe. The only way you can do that is get in your Bible. Make some notes because we're real apt to forget. But now sanctification in its progressive work. Jesus said in John 17 and verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Let me tell you something. As we get in the word of God, then the Lord begins to work on our life. We come on Wednesday night, we hear a Bible message. We hear on a Sunday morning, we hear a Bible message. We get in our Bibles through the week, and this Word does a progressive work in our heart and our lives. It makes us more like Christ. Where would you be this morning, the day you got saved and you never picked your Bible up again? Or you never heard a man of God get up and preach anymore? You would certainly sort of be left where the Lord found you. I realize that's the greatest day in our life when He saved us from a devil's hell. But it's something a lot greater, living for Jesus this morning. You see, the church and its sanctification. We're sanctified positionally. We're sanctified progressively. It has to do with our conduct, our growth, and our development. But then thirdly, I want to talk about sanctification practically. Sanctification practically. Turn with me in Revelation 19. I want to do a sermon out of the book of Revelation on this bride, but I want to whet your appetite with this found in Revelation 19 and verse number 7. I want you to see what Jesus says about the wife and the marriage of His church. And then I'm going to get in and close the sermon where I want to get to preaching this morning. The church is sanctified positionally through Christ. This church can be sanctified progressively through the Word of God, through the stirrings of the Spirit of God, obeying Christ and what He asks us to do. We become more like Christ. But here practically, let us look in Revelation 19 and verse number 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and watch this, and His wife hath made herself ready. So that reminds me that I have a responsibility that I am to become more like Christ. We know nobody can make themselves ready to meet God. Only Christ on the cross has done that for us. But here in this progressive sanctification, Christ is wanting us to be a clean people, a committed people. He wants us to realize who He is, and we are the bride of Christ. So the bride hath made herself ready, reminds me of responsibility. To her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Now we know the only righteousness that is ever in us is what Christ has put in us. There's nobody can work their way to God. Sir, you can't do enough good to go to heaven. You can't give enough money to buy God. You can't work enough to work your way to God. We're saved by grace through faith. Realizing you're a sinner and coming to Christ by faith, saying, God, I need you in my life. When we do that and God moves in, He declares us righteous by one way. And that's His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But here you'll notice that the bride had responsibility, that she had to do something to make herself ready. Now, to get into preaching, I want to highlight just a few things that I think will help us in our practical day-to-day living in that of sanctification, of being more like Christ. I've said it once, I'd like to say it again. Since the day you got saved, are you more like Jesus today than you was at that day? And I think a lot of times in the old church, a lot of the saints of God, they look down on people and they judge people because they were not where they were as the older saints of God. But it is a process. It takes time. It takes some trials and errors. It takes some failures. But let me tell you what, Christ to get all the honor and the glory, because He's still working on me. If anybody says that they have arrived, then they've got the wrong pattern that they're putting their life up to, the wrong measure. Christ is our rule of measure this morning. You know, you may live better than I do, and I may live better than many of you do. But that's not the pattern this morning. The pattern is to be more like Jesus. And so here, in this sanctification, being practical, the wife hath made herself ready. I want to say this today in passing. Justification is a legal term. You'll find that in your body, in your Bible, that the body has been justified. That's something that's went on in heaven. God has declared you righteous. He has declared you not guilty because you trusted His Son. That's justification. When justification happens in our life, we get peace with God. But I want to say, secondly, sanctification, we get the peace of God. I'm saved, but let me tell you something. Many of you are saved, but you don't have the peace of God in your heart. Well, the only thing that can break the peace of God in your life and my life is sin. Sin has always done away with the peace of God in our life. And so this thing of sanctification, being more like Him, has to do with our actions, our conduct, our growth and development. Now I want to say the bride hath made herself ready. Salvation is what Christ done for us. Listen, salvation is what Christ done for us, but sanctification is what Christ is doing in us. Can I say that again? It might clarify where I'm wanting to get this morning. Salvation is what Christ has done for us. We're saved. But sanctification is what Christ is doing in us. Am I more like Jesus? Okay, first of all, I want to say the basics of practical sanctification is we ought to be convinced about Satan. We need to be convinced about Satan. He's our enemy. He's not our friend. Young people, the Bible says this in John 10:10. John 10:10. We need to be convinced about Satan. Jesus said in verse 9, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So we must be convinced about Satan. Young people, are you convinced about Satan? I met a man this week. They had a rental in Wedowee, Alabama, a few years ago. Said they got on the internet and they wanted this extreme price for a lake house for the week. And they seen that it wouldn't book, so they offered him a price and he took it and they moved in. And come to find out that this guy was the president in Atlanta, Georgia, of the satanic culture there over of what they serve Satan. I said, Lord, I'd hate to know I spent the night there. Somebody say amen. But you see, young people, Satan is real. He's so deceptive. He deceives. He'll paint you a pretty billboard. All you young men, you drive to work. Now, I worked in advertising and marketing a long time. Advertising works. You'll notice on billboards, there the alcoholic commercials will say, come up to the mountains, enjoy the good life. You see all them Clydesdale horses pulling a wagon. You see Hollywood all living it up. But the devil won't show you the backside of that billboard. He won't show you what I've seen in the morgues and the funeral homes and the hospitals, honey. The devil is a real deal. And you better not mess with the devil. Now, I want to say today, we ought to be convinced about Satan. Mom and daddies, you ought to know what your kids are listening to. You ought to know what they're watching on their phones. You ought to know who they're running with. I don't care if they're who's who and got the greatest academics in West Georgia College. You better know who your children is hanging out with. And I'm going to hit this while I'm there. Mom and daddies, you better watch out who you're hanging out with. Now, we ought to be convinced about Satan. Secondly, we ought to be concerned about self. I'm talking about this practical sanctification. Not only should we be convinced about Satan, but we ought to be concerned about self. Now, I want to say something before I pass on to this. Convinced about Satan. The other night, there was when me and Miss Renee came here on a Friday night or Saturday night, that fellowship hall was filled with young people. They said this Wednesday night, I got a report back. They said, you ought to see the kids here Wednesday night. I want to say something. They'll get something here that they won't get out in this world. Get your kids in the house of God. Watch where they're going. Know what they're doing. You say, why you say that? Because I've been 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 before. And 40. Somebody say amen. Convinced about Satan. Secondly, concerned about self. We need to realize who we are and what we are. We're nothing without Christ. We're wretched sinners. There's none good. No, not one. And oh, my goodness, how we ought to be concerned about ourselves. Look in Romans 7. I want to show you something on a progressive sanctification that's so practical. Romans 7, where the Apostle Paul says this. Romans 7, verse 15. We want to do this as a cop-out because Christian living is too hard. That's not what Paul's referring to. Paul's referring to him that the things he does, it drives him wild and he wished he didn't do them and he didn't want to be doing them. It's not a cop-out. You know, the Baptist church has got a bad rumor. Once saved, always saved. Let's go live like the devil. That ain't in your Bible. Once saved, always saved is in your Bible, but not living like the devil is in your Bible. COVID's done got your amen. Watch what Paul says. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Sometimes you ever just get fed up with you? Well, what you do and what you are, you tell God, I'll never do that again. You find yourself doing it again. You know why? Because you're human. There's none that's arrived yet. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, here it is, that's in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. You better not trust your flesh as far as you can throw it. I hear people saying, preacher, you're too busy. You need to have some downtime. You need to go find yourself. I don't like what I find. A lot of you in love with yourself. I don't like what I find. This morning, Brother Mike, me and Miss Renee should give out peeling all them potatoes for lunch. I said, baby, I'll get these potatoes. She had them peeled. I said, I'll cut them up. Your problem is your knife ain't big enough. So I reached in the dresser, pulled out a big old butcher knife, and I walked over there. And I got the peeling them potatoes. You know what she said? You're cutting them too thin. I said, well, baby, I'm just trying to be a blessing. She said, cube them. Well, then I wasn't cubing them right. So I know they had to preach this morning, so I laid my knife down and walked in the shower. Somebody say amen. None of y'all have that kind of problem. I got that kind of problem. And you got that problem if you'll be honest with God this morning. That sin that lives in us. Concerned about self. Paul says, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that's when I would do good, evil's present with me. Verse 24, underline this. Paul, one of the greatest men that ever lived behind Christ, said this, O wretched man that I am. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. We must have Christ. We must have Him living in us, and we must submit to Him and obey Him because we're robed in flesh. Some of you young people that are married, if you want to have a successful marriage, take a wood off the fire. It'll go out. Quit throwing wood on it. Amen. Convinced about Satan, concerned about self. Thirdly, consistent in Scriptures. Did you notice what I read? I want you to look at it again because it's that important. In closing, John 17:17, Jesus says this, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now this is what happens. In the morning, this is what I intend on doing. I'll get my Bible out and someplace I'll start reading. I try not to read 10 or 15 chapters a day, but I do want to read in my Bible. Try every day to get some Scripture in my life. This is what happens. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. How many times before I went out on my duties of the day that I got the Word of God in me, how it helped me the rest of the day? When you spend a long time with Christ in this Word, it makes us more like Him. Look what Jesus says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So it does a work in our life. That's why even Wednesday nights is so important. Y'all tickle me. I can have a preacher in and I say, well, he preaches better than this and preaches better than that. Let me ask you something. If the man of God is reading out of the Word of God, how can it get any better? It's that Word that is doing the work. And we need to be people that is involved in the Word. You spend 15 hours a week in your iPhone looking at TikTok, you're going to be more like TikTok world than Jesus. COVID done stole your shout. You've got to spend time in the Word. Consistent in Scriptures. Fourthly, controlled by the Spirit. The Christian life in progressive sanctification is yielding to Christ as He asks us to do something. Renee told me something yesterday. She does grocery pickup down at Kroger. Since COVID hit, she hadn't been back in the grocery store. She loves that iPhone, make your order, shake your little Baptist head up and down. It saved me a lot of money, no impulse buys. You go by, Brother Randall, you go by that little Debbie rack. Man, I love them white powdered sugar donuts. Somebody say amen. Buy me 4 bags, bring them to the house. It saved us a pile of money. She'll pull up in her little parking spot. She'll do her number. They say, you got any coupons? I say, baby, why ain't we getting coupons? But she said, you know, I wanted to be good to that little girl yesterday, and the Lord told me to do something. And she said, then the devil said, well, you know, you can buy you and Ken's lunch with that today. This is what she said, sitting at my table when she got home. She said, but you know, I minded the Lord and did that, and it sure was wonderful to mind the Lord. You see, in progressive salvation, to be more like Christ, we must be obedient to Him and do what the Spirit bids us to do. This morning, I believe that Christ is looking for His church to be different. Somebody said, well, I'd be a Christian, but it's no fun. Let me tell you, I'm having the time of my life. The greatest days of my life is serving Jesus. The greatest days. You see, we should be convinced about Satan. Young people, he's real. Stay away from him. He'll lie to you in a minute. Amen. Concerned about self, oh wretched man that I am. Consistent in the Scriptures, let it wash us, mold us, and make us. We need to be controlled by the Spirit. Now I want to say fifthly, we need to know something about the confession of sin. You're never going to progress in the things of God till you learn that you can tell God that you're sorry and get forgiveness for your sin. If we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We must learn to confess our sin to the Lord and ask Him to take that away from us when we make a mistake. Confession of sin. Then, Brother Jake says something about it in prayer room this morning, the connection of saints. Hebrews 10:25. I know I'm losing you, but I'm closing down. Hebrews 10:25. Talking about practical sanctification. Not only knowing about the confession of sins, but we all know something about the connection of saints. Hebrews 10 and verse number 25. Now underline this in your Bible. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. We need to encourage one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The returning of Christ. Jesus is coming, church. Church is essential. When we're sick, we need to stay home. If you run in a fever, stay home. COVID broke your amen, didn't it? But it amazes me, the people that's just disconnected from the church. They'll go to the ball games, they'll go to the restaurants, they'll go anywhere they want to, but they'll get COVID at church. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? If you've ever heard a preacher that respects COVID, you're looking at one. I know what it can do. Jesus has told us to assemble together. And we are to do that with safety, the best practices we know. But this world can't shut our church down. If you got the bellyache, stay at home. I don't want your bellyache. Somebody say amen. Connection of the saints. It's so important that we assemble ourselves together. There's nothing like being together. You know something? It don't have to go out across the fence every service. If we can just get together, it does me good just to come in and see people. Be encouraging to one another. We need each other. Families, you may think your children aren't listening to nothing, but they're listening more than what you think they are. They're seeing, they're being developed about old-time church. Something's really got on my heart lately. I'll be 61 years old this March. Now, I'm going to tell you, I just don't see a young generation that's taking up old-time religion to take our place when God calls us home. That bothers me. And it ought to bother you. And we teach our children it's all right to miss church. You know what they're going to do? They're going to miss church. Connection of the saints is so important. Then lastly, a close, the consideration of the Savior. Consideration of the Savior. Miss Sherry come this morning. I'll just get our sister to play something. Consideration of the Savior. I want you to look at something that really spoke volumes to me, and I want to give an illustration. 2 Corinthians 11. Verse number 1. If there's anything out of this sermon today, this is what I want you to see. This is what I want you to take home with you. Paul's writing. This is what he said, the consideration of the Savior. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I'm jealous over you. What? I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The consideration of the Savior. You see, Christ is jealous over his people. If I came home and I'd been gone on a trip, and I came home and my wife was sitting on the couch, and I looked and there was this strange man had his arm around my wife. Don't you think that it'd be godly jealousy raised up in me? Well, I wonder what God sees His church through the week, who we're holding hands with, who we're courting. Are we stepping out on Christ that we belong to? You say, Brother Ken, do you believe that? I believe that's what my Bible teaches me. He's looking for a bride that is committed, that's clean, that's close. Church, I said all that to say this, the church, the saved, the born again, is the bride of Christ, and our great bridegroom is returning. And we're going to go up together and meet him to the great marriage supper in heaven. Oh, when he comes, I want my garment in the best condition that I can make it. This morning, as I reached in the closet, I was sure that my shirt was ironed and cleaned and tried to look presentable for the day. I know that's just outward appearance. I'm talking about what's on the inside this morning. Oh, how we ought to want to keep our lives cleaned up. To live for Jesus that gave His life for us. I've never preached in my life at a more committed church than this church. Never. And I tell people this all across this country. But I really feel that many of you don't understand how important it is to keep ourselves clean, doing the best we can. And when we have failures and sin, we confess those to the Father. We get up and keep on going for the glory of God. This morning, Miss Sherry, play.